Thank you all for being with us, returning after a crazy Sunday like last Sunday, which was a glorious Sunday. It was a Jubilee Sunday. I've always told Diana that the problem is when God comes in our house, he always starts a party. And that's just, I don't understand it. I used to be really embarrassed. Now I'm not. I just understand it. I just understand. And this week, this is really strange. But this week, after 30 years of being called Jubilee, I understand why we're called Jubilee. And I understand what is emerging for all of us, and what's being presented to us in Jesus. The good news is Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, when he quoted Isaiah, read Isaiah 61, which refers back to Leviticus 25, where the year of Jubilee was initiated, he said he called that, it was known to be called the favorable year of the Lord. He sat down and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus is our Jubilee. So we're not waiting for a length of time. In the case when it was first set apart, it would be for one, everybody would at least have an encounter in their generation. Every 50 years would be Jubilee. And now every day is Jubilee when Jesus shows up and affects us. But so let me pray and ask the Lord to help, because I want to just start with where he's starting. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you just... Thank you that you're so confident and so committed. Thank you that you're so unwilling to do without any of our lives, that you wait and wait and wait. Thank you that you bring us into freedom through your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you do embrace us, that you love and delight to embrace us as a little child within us, or as the stately man or woman we've become. That you are a God of love. It's the only word that you have allowed yourself to be identified with when you said God is love. Love is God. Your love that comes from your decision is unalterable, sent toward us. It is so vast, it's larger than the entire oceans of the world. We know, Lord, that as we're trying to find a missing plane in the middle of a deep, deep ocean, how vast the ocean is, and yet it is a drop in the bucket in comparison to the greatness of love that exudes out of your heart for each and every one of us. So Lord God, would you, by your supernatural ability, Holy Spirit, drop us in the sea of your love. Surround us, and fill us, heal us, deliver us, reveal yourself to us. You know the journeys that each of us have been through. You know the immediacies of what's pressing against us. You know wherever we are. So Lord, it's not really about our minds getting a hold of something. It's about our spirits receiving, our hearts responding. Holy Spirit, please come. Sit next to each of us. You are Parakletos. You are the one who comes alongside. So we make a room for you to sit next to us. Please talk to us personally from what is being said publicly. Make it our own message that you make for us. Make promises come alive. So wherever we are going, whatever we're doing, we're not doing something that's outward, but from the inside out. Whisper life, faith, hope, love, joy, righteousness. Infuse us in your kingdom. Empower us to lay down our lives. Fill us with yourself. We welcome you, Lord Jesus, the author, the champion of our faith, and the completer and finisher of the journey. We welcome you, Jesus, to stand in the midst of us, to move among us, to touch us, to heal us. You who receive for us and continue to receive salvation, healing, and deliverance, let it flow to us, your body, from the head, our Lord, and let it break out in ways that are unimaginable beyond our comprehension, and it brings glory to God and faith in Jesus. Thank you. Come alive. We need you. You're here. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I use the word sound all the time. I don't mean to do it. It's not because I've caught myself saying it so much, I've had to stop and say, wait a minute, I better let people know that when I use the word sound, in heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, it continues throughout all of the book, you hear that around the throne are lightnings, thunderings, and sounds. The word sound is often translated voice, and it literally means, in the Greek, a sound with the intention to disclose something. It has the intentionality of heaven. It's part of how revelation flows. It's how we come into things that we couldn't see before. We don't grasp with our mind. It comes into our being. And it can be a sound. It can be the voice. It can be preaching. On the day of Pentecost, there came a mighty rushing sound from heaven. It filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then tongues of fire sat on each head. So a corporate sound, an individual experience, led to a sound that was heard. And when that sound was noised abroad, 3,000 people came into the kingdom, all because of a strong wind. And those kinds of life expansions, those are sovereign and they're God-sent. They're preceded by prayer, humility. They're often preceded by a lot of suffering, trials, tests, as God moves a people into a place where they could fully trust and fully rely and fully need God and no longer trust, rely, or have confidence in themselves. And so all of a sudden there's readiness. You know, you have Peter who gets to stand up and tell the story of what just happened because a few days ago, 50 days back, he had so humiliated himself in his denying the Lord that he's now the one that's most humble. He was the most proud. All it took was a great humiliation to make him humble. So that's the good news about humiliation. Makes you humble. The fruit of humiliation is humility. The fruit of humility is grace. So every time you get humiliated, grace is coming. Another way to look at it. Leviticus 25, verse 8, 9, and 10. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. And the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all the land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Now, 30 years ago when we were preparing to start our church, which will be 30 years in September, and praying, seeking the Lord, where to go, where to be, and how we landed, the Lord directed us to Camarillo, and then what to call us, what would be our name. The Lord had, for a long time, ministered to me Galatians 5:1, a very personal, powerful way about freedom, because I had, you know, come out of such a life of lostness that the Lord had to deliver me in many, many ways, and so I began to value the power of freedom, and thought the Lord's desire was to bring freedom to people. So I was really contemplating, talking back and forth to Cammie about freedom. Maybe we call ourselves Freedom Church. And I'd kid around and say, we could call ourselves Freedom Folk Faith Fellowship. But then we thought we'd be a 4F. But anyway, one day the Lord just kind of whispered to me out of the blue. He said, why don't you call yourself Jubilee? And I said, why? I just kind of didn't know really a lot about the name Jubilee. He said, because Jubilee embraces freedom, but much, much more. I said, okay. And so we sought it out, and it's just kind of settled. You know how when you're choosing a name for a baby, you find, oh, this just fits. Well, it's kind of like that. So here we are. Here we are. During the conference, as we were closing the Saturday into Saturday night, The Lord, through Rosie Bates, in the afternoon, began to declare the restoration of inheritances, generational inheritances, things that were lost, maybe not even aware of, not even known, that God was doing this and could do this. And there was faith. After 4 days, faith was really rising. And just like one of those moments that, for me, I really go, whoa, that's really true. That's I think that's really happening. I think that's really the intentionality of heaven, is to really bring things into its order, not the order we've had to, you know, found ourselves in. Saturday night, worship's going, praise is going, and I'm getting ready to come up to receive the offering, and I'm thinking about the inheritance, and I'm thinking about how would I even share that. And suddenly, I don't know what happened. There was an angel with a big trumpet, big horn, that had been seen earlier up on the platform. And there was just movement and celebration. And I came up, and all of a sudden, this brilliant light sound happened. I would think, I imagine the angel blew the trumpet. A little girl came running past with a flag, and all of a sudden, inside of me, it just went burst, and all of a sudden, Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, the sound of Jubilee, the liberation, it's liberty. And it just exploded, and it just kept growing ever since. And then that Sunday morning, those of you with us, how many were here last Sunday morning? Okay, how many weren't here last Sunday morning? Okay, how many don't know where you were last Sunday morning? Okay, well, we got three choices. Anyway, we broke out in this celebratory singing, dancing, and so forth. And so I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I was walking with the Lord and talking to him, and I, with my phone, I just went back to Leviticus, because I'd already been just pulled into this word liberty. The word liberty in the Hebrew, I'll just tell you, and you've heard it, it's where we get the word deror, and it's a foundational unused root, and it means to move rapidly. Freedom, a spontaneity of outflow, something that's not planned, and it's an outflow, and therefore clear, so clear. Because it's non-planned. Spontaneity of outflow, rapid movement, freedom, clarity. So I'm meditating on that, because I'm aware that this is happening, and yet you can't plan it, but you can go with it. Yeah. And you have to go with it. And it's weird. Everything in the Bible is meant to be experienced, not grasp with the intellect. It's wonderful when the intellect catches up, but don't let your intellect be the lead. In the kingdom, it's always experience first, figure it out later. Whereas one gentleman said, God does something, we can ask him why, and he maybe he'll tell us. But it's he breaks in. It's to be experienced. Every scripture is a door to feel, to be touched, to be transformed, to be transfigured. Our whole house is not a house well organized. That's probably pretty obvious. We're not very smart. We're not pretty. We don't get together and say, here, how do we bring forth what God's doing? How do we organize, orchestrate, and do it? We just actually all stumble into the Sunday, and it weaves together, and whatever works is the Holy Spirit, whatever doesn't is us getting self-conscious. So liberty, spontaneity, something just surges, something moves, something goes. And that was to be, it says in verse 10, it says, you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land. So to proclaim, this is the word proclaim. It's the word gara, and it means the idea of accosting a person you meet, to call out to. So it's like, The call of this was to go find every inhabitant of the land and tell them liberty. Just try that. Turn to one of your neighbors and just say liberty. Now turn to the other neighbor and say liberty. Liberty. Isn't that a good? Doesn't that word sound feel good? I mean, that's humanity's cry, and that's every time it breaks forth. We've come up more into the image of God. Liberty. Liberty. And we're to proclaim it. So because of that, my encountering with the Lord, and I'm kind of just thinking, okay, Lord, I want to just kind of take my concordance and go through all of these words. So if you, here's what I discovered, and I think it will be of advantage, it will be helpful, because you can then go with it when the Lord's doing that individually or corporately. Verse 9 says, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. That is actually three little Hebrew words. The word trumpet, shofar. See, we all know Hebrew. Shofar, ram's horn. That's what it means. It's a shofar, shofar. You're to cause the trumpet, shofar, to sound. But what are you doing to sound? You cause the trumpet of Jubilee. Now, this is a crazy word, and you would think I already understood this. It's teruah. See, it's the verb of later, the noun, when we, you know, yobel, which is in verse 10. It shall be a year of Jubilee, the noun, the name. But this is the action. And that word is the teruah. And it means clamor, as in an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially a clangor. Now, I'm glad my phone also has the Webster Dictionary, because I didn't know what a clangor is. So I looked up clangor, and as all dictionaries do, which they told us not school never to do, it said, it's a resounding clang. I said, well, what is a clang, click? And it is to make or cause something to make the loud sound of metal hitting against something. It comes from the root word ruah, which is to mar, especially by breaking or to split the ears. I've got a grandson at home, little Noah, and he has this happy sound, which is like the highest pitch I think humanly possible for a 7-month infant to have. And it can get as loud and delightful. I can't go that high anymore. But if you are within like 5 feet when he's happy, your ears hurt. It's like he pierces in your ear. You go, whoa, turn that other way. Because it's just, boom, it breaks in. That's what it means, to split the ear or to split. Now, this trumpet, it's actually only translated Jubilee here in this verse. The trumpet of Jubilee. Most of the time it's translated an alarm or joy or joyful sound or shout or with shouting. It's found in these stories that you're very familiar with. When Joshua circled around Jericho on the seventh day, he said, when you hear the trumpets begin to sound, then you shall raise up a shout. You shall raise up a shout. That shout was the ascension of God to bring about the breakthrough. It was also in the story of David in the ark. When he brings it in to Jerusalem, it says that the trumpets are blowing and the people are releasing with great shouts as they come bringing the ark into the city. It's almost like it's always accompanied with the movement of God, God moving. When Ezra rededicated the temple years later, when they're rebuilding the temple that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and they lay the foundation, and they dedicate that foundation, that says that they release that shouting, that sound, it's over and over again, even to going back and forth from the Jubilee to the Mar, you know, the shout, and it says there was such a sound in the land that it was heard all over. During the time when Abijah was having to face Jeroboam, it's when the kingdoms had split. And Abijah found himself the king of Judah. Jeroboam had already been the king of Israel. He had created a whole idol worship system. And he was coming to attack Abijah. And Abijah was saying, listen, don't do this. I mean, you're already taking the people further and further away from what God set in motion for all of us. And we have the priest, we have the trumpets, we have the sound. And while he's appealing to him like I am, trying to explain, hey, wait, we're in the place that God appointed. Don't do this. Jeroboam sends an army on the other side of Abishah's army. So he finds himself, Abishah, Judah, all surrounded by Jeroboam's army of Israel. And the Bible says that when they realized that they were in big trouble, they blew the trumpet and they began to shout. And God gave them a great victory. Funny how the trumpet and the shout can always go together. It's just like a noise. It's like this, probably the closest thing we know is the sound at the beginning of a football game or in the middle of a game when we're just, the crowd is moving in union. They're not on the field, but they're in the game. And it's, it's also used when they rededicated themselves to seek the Lord. Let me give you a few more words, and then I'll show you a couple of psalms, and I think that's all we'll have to do today, because I think you'll get the freedom to go, okay. So you're sounding a trumpet, and the trumpet's jubilee, and it's an ear-piercing acclamation of joy. It's a celebration. It's to get everybody's attention. It's capturing the attention. It's because it's the day God, the favorable year. Then it says, you shall make, the word sound. So we have the shofar blowing the sound of jubilee, and it's to be sounded throughout the land. The word sound means to cross over. Isn't that an interesting? To cross over. It's like the sound is the thing that puts you on the other side. It picks you up what you cannot do yourself. Because if liberty is to come rapid movement, if it's to become a spontaneity of an outflow, if it's a freedom, it isn't the kind that we painstakingly go through year after year trying to. It's something that is surging. It's Isaiah 61, you shall proclaim liberty to the captives. It's a Spirit of God freedom moment. Boom. Come on out. Let's go. We're getting out of here. And you find yourself free. That's why, what are you getting free to? The inside of you is you, whom God knew, whom he placed inside your mother's womb, whom you were born into this earth, who already had a predestination, a calling, justification, and glorification inside of Christ. Once Christ is revealed in us, all that was in God Father's heart and set in motion before the foundation of the world is activated. Unfortunately, we've all found ourselves before we find Christ, or even many times after we find Christ, captured, unable to be as free. The self-consciousness, the religiosity, the bondages, the captivities, there's stuff that we're having to deal with and try to live with, and we don't get to enjoy. In Israel's time, you had the land given as possession, and it was given to Israel before they crossed the Jordan to the 12 tribes. Once they crossed the Jordan, began to conquer the land, then they began to divide it among the families inside the tribes. But it had all been given to Israel by God before they ever crossed the Jordan. That's why it is given by promise. And that's why for us today, our possession, our inheritance of greatest value are the promises God made. And a promise given or promise made by God is an inheritance given. So everything in your the scriptures that come alive to you in any time is God initiating a covenant with you. You pick it up and you begin to grow in it. You learn it, you ponder it, you run your reference, you become familiar with it. You maybe dig into the teaching, the understanding of that thought, and it builds inside of you. And it is forever yours. 1 Peter says that the inheritance we have is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, and is reserved in heaven for you. So whatever happens with you while you're wandering, journeying, traversing time, cannot mar, take away, or diminish the inheritance that has been given to you in Christ. That's the beauty. That's the part we can't recognize, how we could screw up so bad. And then God come back and go, what? How did that happen? How did you just do all that? Or should we ever be in such depression that we go, God, I feel so despondent because You said so much and I see so little. Because everything that is given to us by promise is by through faith, and it comes by grace. And once it's been uttered, the faithfulness of God never utters a word to you without the utter, absolute confidence in himself that he can complete it, knowing your entire history before you've had it. He knows you're going to, I already said it once, screw up. He knows you're going to make stupid decisions. He knows other people are going to betray you. He knows you're going to move toward God, then run away from God. You're going to be brave, then fearful. You're going to make bold confessions, then you're going to freak out and run away. You're going to be in love with God, and then he knows you're going to do all that stuff. He knows you're going to be mad at him, sad, glad. You're going to be, I won't go anywhere. Leave me on the water. Ah, help, I'm drowning. You don't care. He knows he's going to season. He's going to say, I want to go across the water. Let's get across the water. He knows the storm's coming, but he's tired. So Jesus gets on a pillow and falls asleep. And you're going, you don't care. You're leaving me to die. You are leaving me to die. And he illustrated internal peace. He knows there's going to be times you're going to be trained in heaven through your life experience. You're going to be saying, God, change the storms. Get rid of the storms. And he says, rest, sleep, trust, grab a pillow, come up here, and let's be quiet. Because the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. And internal peace is victory. External peace is temporary. Right? We love it when everything's going well, but nothing goes well very long. Be real. Everybody's got stuff happening. We're in too many cross grains of too many things to be able to, you know, just build a world that, you know, I tried to do that. You know how what those kind of worlds look like? They go. I am controlling this amount of life. Don't interrupt this amount of life because I'm in peace. Don't touch my coffee. That's my cup. What are you sitting in my chair for? That's my spot. That's my ministry. And you know what? That's okay. I've done that. You'll do that. You've done that. It's fear trying to reconcile promise of peace. Control freaks. I was thinking about this the other day. Is the force of fear against a gift of perfection, of beauty, of the ability to make something really perfect. That's a gift. Couple that, though, with some fear, betrayal, offense, hurt, loss, confusion, pressure against your soul, and you're taking a gift that was to display God's glory and using it to protect yourself. So when freedom, liberty comes, when the Lord says, liberty, he's not first thinking, I'm going to change all that stuff around you so that you can move freely. No, it's I'm going to release the child inside of you, the one I knew when I foreknew you, the one I knew you to be, all of the quirks. That's why when real liberty happens in the kingdom, the only word they had for the New Testament was drunk. Self-unconscious. Woo! You know, you've always wanted to dance but can't. Now you do. You've always wanted to draw but too afraid to. Now you do. You always wanted to study and delve into the scripture, but you never thought you were smart enough. Now you do. You always wanted to create with your hands and build things, but never thought you could because somebody told you when you were in fifth grade that you were bad. Now you do. You always wanted to go into the arts. Now you do. That's what liberty is. Liberty takes you into where you're destined for. It's your inheritance. But it's a sound. It's like a burst. And after a while, you go, how'd I get here? And the old memories come back. What am I doing here? Maybe I shouldn't be here. That's why it's a year or it's a sound that's supposed to be keep on telling everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, liberty. 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 Yes, liberty. That's the word of the Lord over you. Liberty. Inside, it's liberating the you. I was driving to church today, and you know how we are, by God's design, he said, I want to call you Jubilee, a people that I call champions. So we just did a conference to try to discover what that means. It's been amazing. And you know the old thing that they'll say, champions are not born, they're made. And I thought, well, that doesn't fit because made sounds so much like the flesh. Work. So I say, well, what is it? How is it? I know a champion's not born because it is the testing, it's the endurance, it's the pressing through. That's the part of the overcomer who endures the cross, runs the race, holds your place, stays in the course, walks the distance. That's all a champion is. Somebody walks the distance, goes through time. I said, well, how is a champion become a champion? How does that endurance hold us through or take us to the other side? Where does that come from? And he said, a champion is not born in my kingdom, nor is a champion made. A champion is known. The experience of being known. Every time I ran, I discovered God in a new way than when I tried to put him on and I hadn't yet the heart to carry. Every time I fail, I discover him in forgiveness in a way that I couldn't when I was in righteousness. For me, my life of liberty was 19 years outside of church, God, kingdom, thought, anything, agnostic upbringing. Mom gets saved, starts praying me in, praying in the family. I get radically converted, saved, delivered from all that I'd wandered in for 6 years. I'm 19. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm getting more delivered, getting more demons cast out of me, coming into a full-time calling of ministry, just jettisoning in. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a season of liberation. But yet God called me to serve in his land of religion. So unlike Cammie, who had been saved and had understood she could not be saved by her own effort, I went out with the zeal that I had been experienced through my radical conversion to say, I'm going to do this stuff. So my liberation today is from self-righteousness. My liberation in 19 was from self-rebellion or destruction. Rebellion is an interesting, it is easy because the way of the transgressor is hard. It doesn't take long to go, you know what, that really is not working. Bam, oh, that hurts. But righteousness is rewarded. To make self right, to become better, to improve. In fact, it's even taught that as we begin our journey, we are tutored by the law. But the law is only to tutor you to come to a conclusion you can't save yourself. But about the time you're ready to say, I don't think this is working. I don't think I can do it. Somebody says, well, just do it a different way. Okay, I'll try it another way. And we're replicating religion. Maybe not the old covenant standards. It's just new covenant or traditions or man. And they begin to replicate and then we just stuck. But the liberty is saying, all that you have done in rebellion and all that you've done in your righteousness, you are released from the weight of it. Because rebellion's obvious, righteousness is a little more difficult, but most of you who really try, I remember John Dawson with the dawning thought he interjected. He said, no man knows how wicked he is until he tries to be righteous. Just try to be righteous. You know, Dylan gave us a fabulous word this morning, awesome word, liberation. But she also told us to go love our wives, and wives, reverence your husbands. So now if we go home and say, I'm going to really love you, I'm going home and I'm really going to love you. I'm going to love you, Cammie. And she's going, I'm going to reverence that man. I'm going to love you, Cam. I'm going to reverence you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to reverence you. No, I'm going to love you. Oh, yeah. I guarantee by the end of the day, we will be in the biggest fight that we've ever had. Because all we're applying is will, choice, self, effort, mind. You can't do it, but you got to try it. Because I tell you can't do it and you haven't tried it. You tell me I'm a liar. So go do it. You're all so wonderful. You're so powerful, so beautiful. You can do anything. No, that sound, crossover. Back into your inheritance. Other people lost it for you. You lost it for yourself. Somebody stole it. Somebody took it. Somebody happened. Come on in. And then it said, make this proclamation. Go throughout the land. Go throughout the land. Liberty, liberty. Let me show you two psalms and then we'll close. Psalm 27. Here's the good news. There is no more need to learn. You need to be free. Take everything that you have learned, lost, confused, frustrated, fumbling, having trouble with, and just say, okay, I'm here. But the sound is for me to leave rapidly. And I'm going to, it's like Passover. I'm not packing my bags. I'm not leavening the meat, the bread. I've just got to go. How many would be willing to leave your miserable state of life right now if God opened the door for you? Seriously. I'm sorry, miserable. Your California life. No, it's miserable, man. It's trying to make God be everything here when it ought to be fully now in eternity. And a lot of it's just a lot of junk going in your brain. Right? So you ready to leave? The sound, whoa, I'm going to write, I'm going to pray, I'm going to build, I'm going to buy, I'm going to sell, I'm going to do, I'm going to be, I'm going to grow. All of a sudden, the restraint's removed. Where are you going? I'm going back to my possession, the thing that God ordained me to be from the foundation. Well, I'm going into my inheritance. I'm coming back to my family. Go. Those things happen so supernaturally. Through Jesus Christ. And they're happening. We're in the sound. So Psalm 29, 27. One, you'll value this if you understand the hardship of your life to this point, whether you're 20 or 80, has been pressing against you, against your inheritance and destiny. And you have done the only thing you can do when that's pressing. You've just tried to find God. And you began to find God to be what you couldn't have on the outside. God becomes my father. God becomes my husband. God becomes my wife. God becomes my friend. God becomes my source. God becomes my comfort. God becomes my strength. God becomes the one I want to seek. He's the one I want to be near. And all of that testing, pressing, is pressing you in. Because that's the very greatest gift. Is the transformation of life from self to God. And so when David says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He didn't get that from going to the temple. There was no temple. He got it from going to find God in all of his trials and tribulations and struggles. Wow, there is a temple in heaven. There is a place of God. And everything he began, his learning to have a real, tangible, experiential relationship with God in the spirit, in the prayer, in life. It says, in the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he'll hide me. He'll set me up high on the rock. Now that is, again, something you're learning from the inside. You go down to pray. God, I have 100 problems. But I've learned not to always bug you with all my problems, so I'm going to try praising you today. I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for your greatness. You are faithful. You are able. You're good. You're kind. All of a sudden, the list goes from 100, 99, 70, 50, 20. It's like invisible ink that all disappears. There's no more list. It's just him. You are everything. I have nothing to fear. I will survive. I will thrive. I will. That's in the pavilion. That's being hidden. That's being transferred. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. You start going up. You start looking at Goliath. That's, I can't see him. He's too small. I'm too high. He's too small. That's what we're going to say to Lucifer. Do you understand? We're going to say that, is this the man that made the nations tremble? Oh, God, I wish I wouldn't have been looking like this and had learned to look like this. That's what we're going to say. Therefore, I will offer the sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, praises to the Lord. This of joy, I will offer the sacrifices of jubilee. Heaven is so loud, so excited because heaven's won. And whenever we're in heaven for any length of time, just by bowing our knee at our bedside to pray and feel the presence of God begin to bring the kingdom of God, the righteousness, peace, and joy, before long, we're in that shout. We're in the noise. We're in the brilliance. When it breaks into a corporate group of people, then it begins to have a rapid ability to multiply. But it has to break into the individuals for it to sustain. Look at another Psalm 47, just real quick. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He's a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us, the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. You're learning to do that in the pit of despair, in the pressure of life, in the tribulation, in the too many kids, too many babies, too many diapers, too many bills, too little money, too many hours at work, not enough time at home, not enough time to sleep, not enough time to play. In the midst of that, you're saying, clap your hands. You're commanding yourself into agreement with heaven. I'm learning the things of the kingdom. He will subdue the peoples under us, the nations under our feet. You're just hoping you can survive your neighborhood. And God says, nations. This is this expansive seed inside of you. He will choose our inheritance. He's going, I want you to go here, do this. God has gone up with a shout. That's jubilee. The Lord with the sound of trumpet. He's sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises. Do you think we should sing praises? That might be a part of this. Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. God goes up with a shout. One last one and we'll close. If the worship team can come up. Psalm 89. This is all the word jubilee, or the shout, or the joy, or the rejoicing. The whole Psalm 89 is so worth it. But we'll look at this one verse, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Blessed are the people who know the sound of jubilee. Who know jubilee? Who know jubilee? Who know the burst of the sound, of the clamor, the celebratory, the breaking out, the light dawning, the clarity, spontaneous outflow. Blessed are those who know that sound. They will walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance because of clarity. Stand up with me, please. Oh, there's so much more, but this is just, I want to suggest to you, and I want to give you permission through the scripture now, that when you are with the Lord, most importantly, and you choose to praise him to gain the altitude, to get the power to flow, and you pray to get into his presence, and his kingdom begins to come, and his righteousness, peace, and joy, which feels like you're okay, you're safe, cheer up. You go with it. Go with the lift. You've got to go with the lift, because if you don't go with the lift, you're refusing the sound. And if you refuse the sound, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, if they refused him who spoke on the earth, how much more will those who refuse him who now speaks from heaven and the earth? The sound. God could rearrange our entire life in 30 seconds, but he will condition us for 30 years so that the sound, when it comes, we will hold our place. Because he's not looking for us to lose everything the next day. Do you understand? That's why you run into Goliath and run away from him. And you chase Goliath, then you run away from him. You do that to learn this thing. That eventually, I'm just going to go die. I have no guarantee, and I have no ability. So I'm going to go in here. I'm going to get really afraid, but I'm just going to die. God says, now I can use you. So, Heavenly Father, I bless this house. I bless everyone who's on the internet. I bless everyone who's running through life, suffocating under circumstances, difficult, having the most horrific life that they could ever imagine. I bless what you have said that would really be heard. That somewhere and somehow by the Spirit of God, the angels of God, the move of God, that the sound of liberty would start to be going forth. And that when the voice of God calling us out, when that clamor breaks into our very little spirit man, we just go with it. So Lord God, we want to go up. We want to allow the shout to rise in us. We want the praise to rise in us. So just lift up your hands and begin to praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be loud. It just has to be real. I praise you, Jesus, for you are victorious. I praise you for you are triumphant in my life. I praise you. Praise him in face of what is suffocating and captivating you. I praise you that you are my liberty. You are my breakthrough. I praise you that you're my healing. If you need to be healed, you praise him for being a healer. I praise you that you are the peacemaker, the life giver, the lover of my soul, the redeemer of my life. I praise you that having begun, you will finish. Having started, you'll complete. I praise you that you've not lost me or forgotten me. I praise you that you're awesome. You're glorious, victorious, triumphant. I praise you. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. You are the sound. You are. You are. You are our jubilee. You are our jubilee. Yeah, you are our jubilee.
Liberty! 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 Liberty!